Hello, welcome to this edition of the Bearcats Blogcast. My name is Scott, joined by Chris Baines. How's it going, Chris?
I wish I could say I'm doing better, Scott, but UC is coming off, I can't really have to say this, a 73-71 loss to East Carolina of all basketball teams on the road in front of a raucous crowd of just over 4,200. A loss, I don't know about you, Scott, I never saw coming. UC was something like 18-point favorites. It's the worst loss for UC since they lost to Presbyterian in 2011. Doesn't necessarily like derail their season, but was definitely a shocker. Definitely a surprise, definitely disappointing. Lots of anger and vitriol from the fan base after that loss. What are your thoughts, Scott?
Just by KenPom ranking, it's the worst loss they've had in the Mick Cronin era, which is like saying a lot, since they've had like a couple shaky ones like Presbyterian, and they lost to East Carolina a couple years ago. But yeah, like we talked on Friday about like one of the things you can't do if you're gonna compete for the league title is lose a game at one of like the bottom teams in the league, and they went and lost to probably the worst team in the league. Like, a really, like, inexcusable loss. And just, like, a game they didn't play well at all, which I think is something to be kind of concerned about since they go on the road again. Because they played, two true road games, or three true road games, and they played about, like, 30 minutes in each of them. And they had a chance to lose all three, because UNLV is not very good. And, like, the 30 minutes they played in that game were, like, spaced out. Then they were able to, like, hold UNLV down. But against Mississippi State, they, like, just collapsed, like, at the end. East Carolina, they collapsed in the first half. And Joe Bosch had a 9-0 lead. So it's not like they just came out, like, garbage. They came out on fire. And then, I don't know if, like, they just took East Carolina lightly or what, but they just, like, ran into one at the end of the first half. Like, East Carolina shot 52%, hit 5 threes, hit 5 free throws, and the Bearcats trailed by 9 points. A gigantic 18-point swing in the first half alone. Like, that was just really startling to see.
Yeah, I mean, you could talk a lot about the offense in that game. I mean, they were 0 of 10 from 3 in the first half, which, I mean, when you're allowing East Carolina to shoot basically half or make half of their free throws, I mean, going 0 for 10 is never going to help you keep up. They went 3 of 19 overall, and we kind of talked about this a little bit last week, and you asked me if you'd rather have, who's more important to the team right now, a Kane Broomer or a Keith Williams to the team's offense. I mean, my answer was Kane Broom for the simple fact that this team is not a very good three-point shooting team, as evidenced by what they didn't do against East Carolina on Saturday. But, I mean, you could talk a lot about the offense, and really we harp on Mick for not focusing on offense because he over-focuses on defense. I mean, that's just his system he runs. And really, I think the story of this game was just how poor UC played defensively. Like you mentioned it, 51% from the field, 41% from three. They allowed East Carolina to score in buckets. And we never really saw in this game the vintage UC defense clamping down on the opposing offense, you know, preventing the back and forth plays. Like, UC was clawing back in the second half. They did make it a game of late. It did come down to the last possession. They only lost by two, but every time UC made a bucket, East Carolina usually scored either on the next possession or the following possession after that. It was never a situation where UC was able to really clamp down defensively, hold East Carolina's offense down and overtake them by using their defense. And that was very concerning to me in this game.
Yeah, same here. I think that's the biggest thing that stood out was just how, like, iffy they were on defense. The first half, like, a lot of guys with, like, half-hearted closeouts on shooters from deep. The second half, like, as you mentioned, they couldn't get a stop, and East Carolina just went through Sean Williams and Jaden Gardner, and Gardner got to the free throw line 10 times in the second half. Like, really nothing they could do. like to stop their big stars when nobody else on their team really was scoring. Like East Carolina 11-22 the second half, and like their two stars go 7 of 11. Like you just can't let that happen, and they just got torched time and time again. And then like the offense ended up like playing well, like overall, but really like no rhythm, no flow, especially in the first half. And the second half they were able to get the ball to the basket, but then they clanked so many free throws.
Yeah,
like 7 of 16 in the second half. Only 8 of 18 for the game, on top of going 3 of 19 from three. That's just how you lose games. Like, despite as well as John Cumberland played, really a great effort by him, 18 and 4 assists. But, like, he turned the ball over 3 times. The team turns the ball over 15 times. 15 times to 11 turnovers, or 11 assists. This is, like, a really awful ratio. And, like, as you mentioned, that Kane Broom, after starting and having a monster game, only plays 8 minutes. It seemed like a lot of it was because he's terrible defensively in the first half. And you don't get anything from anyone on the bench outside of Trevor Moore scoring a couple of layups.
Yeah, looking at the first half number, I mean, normally I think you could say that UC could overcome the first half deficiencies. You mentioned only 50% from the free throw line. They didn't make a single 3-point bucket. They only shot a little over 39% from the field. They picked it up in the second half, but if UC in the past had gone into halftime down 36-27 to East Carolina, you are not concerned at all because you think the defense is going to come back and hold East Carolina to, you know, 4 to 5 minute stretches where they just don't score any points and the offense gets back in the game. And to a degree, the UC's offense was able to get back into the game, but the defense was just not where it needed to be, even in the second half. I mean, they still shot 50% from the field. They still made 36% of their threes. I don't know. UC only forced 5 turnovers. It was just, the defense was very concerning in that game. And like to your point, I mean, UC overall, if we're looking at the macro trend, has been playing terribly on the road this year. They have a very, very dangerous Tulsa team on the road tomorrow night, who knocked off a then-ranked Kansas State team at home a few weeks ago. It's very, very concerning that this team hasn't, I mean, you expect the offense not to travel, but the defense didn't travel on Saturday, and it's been a little shaky all year on the road.
Yeah, definitely, and like that was one of the larger concerns coming into the season, with such a almost like an inexperienced roster for a lot of these guys playing major minutes. And that's the type of thing you get away from home. It's like some of the role players just like don't step up and play as well as they do it in the third arena. It's just kind of like what happens in college basketball and like why it's so tough to win on the road. But like one of the things you mentioned, you think UC is going to like make a big run to start the second half. And they do, like, they score the first 8. Then, like, they just, like, couldn't hold East Carolina. It's just really, like, kind of unbelievable. Like, 4 minutes to go, they trail by 8. They have to score late to cut the lead down to 2. Because it was, I think, 6 with, like, a minute and a half to go. Something like
that. Yeah, and something like that.
They were able to clutch it up. And, like, Mick Cronin, like, goes ballistic at the end when Trent Cumberland, like, drives to the basket. And a lot of contact, but they seems like they never call that. And it looked like his shot got blocked clean anyway. But, yeah, it's just, like, a really tough loss. And a game that they really shouldn't lose.
Yeah, and, I mean, the game itself is not, it's not necessarily a death blow to this program, to this program's hopes of a postseason, you know, NCAA tournament bid. They only dropped from 23rd to 30th in KenPom. I think they only lost like a seed or two from what they originally projected, from like a 4-5 to like a, I don't know, 7-8 roughly. But it does create make us as fans ask the question, you know, what is this team going to do on the road? You know, do you, if they have a performance like they did against East Carolina, can we really expect them to beat Houston on the road, UCF on the road? Hell, even those middle-tier teams like UConn or Memphis or Wichita State or Temple, like, can they really go and get those wins on the road? And we talked, and you mentioned this earlier, what we alluded to last Friday, there's a lot of opportunities in this conference to get a lot of good 1 to 200 level wins. But on the flip side of that coin is if you lose those games, which UC just did against East Carolina, that's going to kill your ability to get a seat on Selection Sunday. And hell, if you have the, you know, quote unquote capability of losing to East Carolina on the road, I mean, none of those road wins against like the UConn, Memphis, Wichita State, Temple are at all guaranteed.
Absolutely not. Because we've seen, like, Wichita is not very good. 7-7, worst record in the league. They do step it up and play hard at home, and that place is really tough to play. Like, we're kind of no matter how good they are. And we've seen UC struggle at Tulsa, which is just seems like a weird place to play. Like, the atmosphere, it seems like they do get up for, like, the big-name teams. Like, it just becomes kind of hard to trust this team, like, which is kind of hard with college basketball. Like, not just Cincinnati, because nobody plays road games before January, it seems.
Right.
So you have, like, a bunch of like, inexperienced players going on to the road to some hostile environments. Like, Mississippi State was a hostile environment. East Carolina really wasn't, but that place got loud at the end of the game. And they were really into it, despite having, like, a really small crowd. And, like, you know you're going to get it from Tulsa, probably, and definitely Wichita and Temple. Like, is a solid team. Like, those are your next three road games. And you do have to wonder if, like, this team can pull any of them out, at least convincingly. Like, there's no doubt they can beat these teams. But just, like, going on the road and doing it for the whole 40 minutes, which is something, like, I don't think they've done yet this season.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, is, like, up until now, we've seen evidence of them playing very poorly on the road. They're a Jekyll and Hyde team between home and road. This team is really guilty until they prove their own innocence on the road, until they can go to Tulsa and get a convincing win, Wichita State, Temple on the road and get a convincing win, Memphis. You know, I don't know if they can beat, like, Houston or UCF on the road, and that's going to be the difference between, you know, getting a good seed in not only the AAC tournament, but the NCAA tournament, or even winning the conference overall. And they've got a lot to prove to me going forward. And, you know, on the one hand, this is a very inexperienced team, a lot of different parts still trying to figure out how to come together. But, I mean, we're in January. Like, they should have been able to figure all that stuff out by now.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Like, you think they would have been able to figure something out with their bench situation, where they just have nobody really consistent and nobody who really gets a ton of run. But like, Frederick's played double-digit minutes. He's the only guy off the bench who did. And he didn't really, like, shine too brightly either.
Right.
But
so do you have any other thoughts on this game, Scott, or should we switch gears?
Let's look at some of the positive things, at least from this game, which were Trey Scott and Nicaea Brooks.
Okay, go ahead.
Trey Scott nearly puts up a double-double in the second half, like 10-8 for a 12-9 like total box score. Like, it was good to see him, like, finally get going. Like, when UC had such a big advantage inside because they're big guys, and it seemed like they went to him, like, way too late. Like, Trey Scott, like, 4-4 second half, 2-4 at the line. Like, pretty solid. And Nicaea Brooks, the first half, had 9 points to really carry the offense. He was the leading scorer in the first half because Cumberland only played 13 minutes. So it's, like, good to see, like, those guys step up and, like, give the offense the boost they needed when nobody else was scoring. And especially from deep. Like, this team, they really need, like, somebody to be a consistent second guy. They don't really have it. Like, Keith Williams, 13 points, but he's not a threat from outside. Jennifer hits, like, 1-3 late in the game. He was only 3-8 shooting, only had 7 points. and like really, we talked about like the bench earlier. So like you really have to get it from your starters, and they just didn't get quite enough.
Yeah. Yeah, and you mentioned it earlier. I mean, Cumberland had a nice second half, but he was 2-4 from the field in the first half, only played 13 minutes, didn't hit a three, only had 4 points. But on the flip side of that, I mean, Nysia Brooks picked him up by giving him 9. Keith Williams had 8. So, yeah, I mean, even though they are, you know, still searching for that defined number 2, Brooks, Williams, and Scott did have nice games. So, you know, hats off to them.
Yeah, but then, like, the problem is, like, when it comes down to late-game situations, it's like Cumberland can bail you out, but he can't win the games by himself. At least he hasn't been able to yet, because he couldn't against Ohio State, when it seemed like he was the only guy who scored late. And it seemed like he was the only guy who scored late in this game, outside of Jennifer's 3 at the very end. And they just weren't able to get it done, which is, like, really hard like on him, just because everybody knows he's getting the ball, and like they just focus on him so much. But it says a lot about his offensive talent that he's able to score so much. But like going to like the big picture, like real quick, like this East Carolina loss is going to be something that follows you all season long. It's like their average net loss right now is 92, just pretty rough, because like their other two like losses are 19 and 29. Like, this is a real drag. And, like, their average...
Yeah, East Carolina was... Didn't you say East Carolina was something like the worst team in the net or something like that? Or, like, one of the worst teams?
Yeah, they're the second worst team in the league in the net.
Like, there it is, okay.
Their score, like, went up after they beat UC. But still, like, they're going to plummet back down. UC is, like, only 1-2 against the top 50. And that's it. That's it for their top 1-2. Group 1 and Group 2 wins, which is like the fewest amount of Group 1 and 2 games. It's like in the top 34, which I think is kind of interesting. It's like Cincinnati and Tennessee are the only two teams in the top like 34 who haven't played a Group 2 team, which is going to change when UC plays Tulsa, but kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But Tennessee has like a lot of...
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more wins out there. Go ahead.
Tennessee has a lot of high-level opponents. Just like been like a really... Like, not really much in the schedule so far, and taking a loss like that is just really rough on your overall resume.
Yeah, and I think I definitely agree with that. I mean, that's going to definitely drag down any kind of seeding or whatever, you know, over the course of the season. I'm still a little more concerned about just like the overall macro ability of this team to win decisively on the road against a quality opponent and bring the type of defense and offense that we see at home. I mean, typically, you know, with a team, they always play better at home, but it's complete polar opposite between home and road. I mean, I'd have to look at the data to actually look at the actual numbers, but you can just kind of tell with this team. They're just all over the place when it comes to the road versus the home. And yeah, I mean, this Tulsa game tomorrow night is not going to be easy. I mean, that Tulsa is a solid team. Frank Haith is a good coach. They have 11 wins this year. I mean, you mentioned it. They're what, a Group 2 team. They can't fuck it up. They just can't. You can't fuck around on the road, especially against Tulsa, and expect to have a good seed come March.
Yeah, and we can move on our focus to Tulsa. It was like, as you mentioned, like okay team. Like, they haven't really done, like, a ton this season. Like, they had the big win against Kansas State at home. They beat Oklahoma State at home. They beat Dayton on a neutral site. And they, like, nearly choked the South Florida game, but they were able to hit a 3 at the buzzer. A pretty exciting finish, like, to pull that one off. Aside on South Florida, I think they're actually kind of good. I'd be interested to see if they can keep it up through, like, January. But Tulsa, like, you know what they're going to get, because they're not going to beat themselves. They're probably not going to shoot very well, which you would think would play into UC's hands. But the Bearcats haven't forced a lot of turnovers in like their conference games so far. Like, they're just ranked 8th in turnover percentage. And it's going to be like a game they have to just kill Tulsa on the glass and just execute. because Tulsa doesn't rebound very well. And that I don't think they could defend Cincinnati for 40 minutes. So it's going to be like a game where you just have to go out and take it from them.
Yeah, I mean, all going to be come down to execution. And, like, you know, we didn't see them execute what to their capabilities on against East Carolina. I mean, this team shoots 33% from three overall, you know, which is not a tall task. I mean, we're not asking them to, you know, shoot 50%. I mean, all they had to do was make, like, three or four more threes against East Carolina. That's a win. That's what we kind of expect out of this team. They don't shoot great, but, you know, 33% should allow you to beat East Carolina. You just need to go out there and execute. Don't allow Tulsa to get into massive runs where you're punching back and forth with them. Don't go 0-10 from three in the first half. Jerome Cumberland cannot make just 4 points in the first half. Mind-boggling how he only had 4 points. And not because he was in foul trouble, just because he just didn't, you know, shoot that well. I don't know. They just got to go out there and execute and somehow find a way to get a win, because it's going to be a very tricky road game. You know, at 7 o'clock on the road in the middle of the week against an opponent on their own court where they haven't lost all year. It's going to be very, very tricky.
Yeah, I think tricky is the right word, because Tulsa, nothing really stands out with, like, their stats. Like, they rank 130 on KenPom. They're 149 on offense, 121 on defense. They don't block shots. They don't get turnovers. They've had, like, a bit of a turnover problem with some of their players. Like, they average 12 assists and 12 turnovers because they have one guy who passes the ball, and it's Taplin, who had, like, the game-winning assist in the game against South Florida. It's like, you really know, like, where you have to stop. They have two guys averaging 13 points. Like, they don't really shoot the ball, like, that great either. It's like, this should be a game that you win. But, like we said, it's a game, like, where you have to go there. Like, against a team, like, who's, like, probably, like, right around the level of UNLV, and Cincinnati had a real hell of a time trying to put that game away.
Right.
And you know Tulsa's going to be up for it, like a ESPN2 game. Like, you can't imagine they would have very many ESPN games coming up the rest of the season. So it's like, you just have to really get back to basics and really defend them well. And Tulsa has hit 36% from three in their first two conference games, which is a bit worrisome given, just like we saw East Carolina, who doesn't shoot well this season, hit 9 threes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can even add to any of that. Tulsa plays really well at home. They're playing very well of late. They have had some odd losses on the road where they weren't really necessarily favored, but they still weren't able to come up with a win, which is sort of disappointing. But, I mean, you pointed out the stats. So, like, a 100-level team overall, 100-level offense and defense, but I mean, just from what we saw against what UC did against East Carolina, it's a far worse team. It just is a little concerning.
Yeah, that's one of the things, like, where it's hard just to give them the benefit of the doubt, because they haven't earned it yet with a true solid road performance. Like, you could say, like, the team last year had, like, it took them a while to get, like, good performances on the road, but then they had, like, the game against UNLV. Or not UNLV, but UCLA, where they just went on the road and kicked their ass. That was a tournament team. So, like, this team hasn't really done that at all yet. Like, despite, like, the good neutral site win against Ole Miss, which continues to look better, as, like, they haven't really lost since that game. But, like, yeah, as you mentioned, Tulsa, they did lose to Nevada by double digits, Southern Illinois by double digits the following day. Houston blew them out. It's like, they have a tendency to get like, run up on. So, it's like, I'm going to be, like, leaning, like, a 60-40, like, percent UC should win.
Yeah, that's probably about right. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. It's, you know, UC should have the better talent all over the floor, or in most spots on the floor. But it's a road game against a pretty capable opponent. You know, not a great opponent, but you know they're fine. And they're coming off a really disappointing loss to East Carolina. I mean, that being said, you know, they had a disappointing road loss against Mississippi State earlier in the year and then blew the hell out of UCLA at home. A little bit different situation because, you know, UCLA or Tulsa isn't about to fire Frank Haith a couple of days after this game. But it's still one of those games where, you know, 60-40 seems about right, but, you know, it could... If UC lost this game, I don't know if I'd be that outright surprised.
I kind of would. I would be surprised if they lost back-to-back league games. Just because it's something they haven't really done in this league in a long time. And if they did, like, lose this game, for example, it does, like, throw the rest of the season, like, almost up for grabs. Because you have, like, not really a lot of, like, great teams. But you have, like, a bunch of solid teams. And if you play, like, a bunch of solid teams, if you don't win all those games, like, then you're really just risking it all. Come tournament time. Like, they're projected to go 23-8 on KenPom, 12-6. Like, 12-6 isn't the top record in the league anymore. So, yeah, like, dropping this game definitely, like, throws you behind the eight ball. Like, if you have grander schemes in this league, or even, like, want to make the tournament, because who knows if an eight-loss team from this conference is going to have, like, an easy ride in, or you might be playing in Dayton.
That's true. But
that is, like, getting way, way ahead of ourselves. But this is a pretty important game. Like, on the road at Tulsa, a team you should beat.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. And if they can go out on the road, and like I mentioned earlier, they're guilty until proven innocent about having a solid road win, convincing road win. If they can go out and execute and beat Tulsa by 15 or 20 or something like that, then turn around in about a week and a half and beat Wichita State by the same margin, and then a week after that beat Temple by the same margin. They should be golden. They should be. I would count them in as, unless they have a random fluky loss against, like, I don't know, like UConn on the road. This team should be okay for the NCAA tournament. But you're right, we are getting way ahead of ourselves. But it is. This is something we should probably keep an eye on, because this team is kind of teetering, right? You mentioned it earlier. You know, one or two more of these losses, and then all of a sudden we're sitting in Dayton, or worse. So something to keep an eye on.
It's, as we saw, like, the rest of the league got pretty punished last year, despite Cincinnati being a number two seed. Let's just catch up on the rest of the league real quick. Like, not a whole lot of changes with the standings. Houston goes to 2-0. UCF wins at UConn. They're 2-0. SMU won at Tulsa. Those three teams all 2-0. Yeah, on the flip side, Tulane is 0-2. Wichita State 0-2 after they blew the game to Temple, who's now 1-1. And UConn 0-2. Disappointing 0-2. So they could easily be 2-0, except, like, there's something wrong with that team. They just don't have enough good players. Has anything stood out to you from this league so far? Go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned it earlier, South Florida. We've been talking about them all season. They have the softest double-digit wins of probably any team in the country right now, but they won very convincingly over UConn, which is something I never saw coming. And, you know, maybe that's kind of to your point made a few minutes ago, that UConn just doesn't have the horses to finish games. But South Florida is playing a lot better this year. They're not good. They're not great. You know, they're not a top half of the conference team, but they aren't dog shit like they were before Brian Gregory got there. And, you know, I was actually surprised to see. I mean, he had a lot of success at Dayton before he went to Georgia Tech and, you know, struggled in the ACC. So he's got a little bit of pedigree and some coaching chops to him. And it seems like he's really done a nice job so far. Turning South Florida around. That is one team that, you know, we saw their abilities to become a relative consistent NCAA tournament team, at least punching above their weight class in that sense. I mean, they have a brand new arena that was just renovated. They're in pretty good recruiting grounds down there. They should be a very solid team if they have a competent coach, and it seems like they have a guy who's willing to take them that far.
And on top of that, it seems like their players have really bought into, like, their system.
That too.
Like, they went from, like, near 300 preseason on KenPom to 154. A gigantic turnaround. And they, defensively, they're in the top 76 in the nation on KenPom. Which, like, really, like, unbelievable with how bad they were last year. Like, and even in the conference play, they ranked 5th, like, so far. Only 2 games. But still, like, they haven't been back-to-back good in conference games in forever. So, like, it's really, like, impressive to see how they've turned it around. Like, their offense is really terrible. Like, they can't shoot at all. But, like, they really bought into that system and turned it around. And, like, they play really hard. I don't know, like, how long they'll be able to keep it up, like I said earlier. But if, like, they, like, keep playing, like, they definitely have a chance to do, to, like, get somebody. Like, they already got UConn at home. Like, they nearly got Tulsa on the road. So, like, they're one team to keep an eye on. And Temple, like, avoided what would have been a bad loss to Wichita State by getting a huge win on the road in overtime. A game like they were getting throttled in the first half. They play Houston tonight, Wednesday night, which is going to be a really big game for Temple. So they kind of need that one.
Yeah, Temple's kind of one of those teams where I feel like they're a little bit teetering too, kind of like UC. Like, yeah, they had the bad loss to UCF. They had a tough win on the road, but I mean that's a team that I can't remember where they were at in KenPom last week. They were like 70, so like right on the outside, maybe like first 4 out or second 4 out. But yeah, if they can pick up a couple of wins, like Houston at home, don't screw up against USF at home, you know. They could be one of the teams that kind of sneaks their way in as a potential 4th NCAA tournament team. Do you have any other like surprises about like what's going on in the AAC right now besides UC losing to ECU?
No, I think that's really been like the defining thing so far. It's like that loss. We see when the teams at the top get knocked off by one of the teams at the bottom. The first time that's happened in conference play, where the home teams have really dominated. I think only SMU, like Temple, and UCF are the only teams that won road games.
Right.
So it's been like a lot of keeping home court, which makes this game pretty important too. UC at Tulsa. Do you have anything else on hoops before we wrap this one up?
No, I'm good. I really, really, really hope UC doesn't lay an egg tomorrow night. That would be very sad.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing. Like, let's not look towards March. We would just be sad if they lost to Tulsa. And nobody wants to be sad in 2019.
No. Positive, positive, positive.
Well, thanks for joining us. And as always, go Bearcats.